Welcome to Ask Peggy About Your Finances, because prosperity is so much more than money. Brought to you by writer, speaker, and certified financial planner, Peggy Doviak.
Thank you to Sports Talk 1400 in Norman for production and studio assistance.
Hello, and welcome to the Ask Peggy About Your Finances show. My name is Peggy Doviak, and I'm a certified financial planner practitioner and a personal finance author. This is a show to help you understand your money. And man, if we needed a week to talk about that, I believe this is the week. We're going to look at tariffs. We're going to talk about a lawsuit being levied against the Department of Treasury and why you should care about it. We're going to talk about saving an emergency fund. And then we're going to talk about handling stress, both in your life and in your financial world. So let's get started with the bulls and bears market and economic update. Now, if you listen to this show on a regular basis, you know that I always start the show talking about the market. And that's because I write my script over the weekend and then I tape Monday morning and I can give you the market data for the last week or maybe the last month or year, just depending on the date. Except on this Monday, which was February 3rd, we were in the midst of 25% tariffs on Canada and Mexico. The market was down 650 points. There was talk that there was also going to be a tariff against China. And my real concern was doing a radio show, kind of hair on fire, only to have the entire thing go away in 24 or 48 hours. So the only mistake I made was it didn't take that long. If I had simply been able to tape the show in the afternoon, which I wasn't, I could have done a far more sensible show, because those 25% tariffs against Canada and Mexico have been now deferred until March 1st. Now, the Chinese tariffs went into place. This matters to you because it's a 10% tariff on anything coming out of China. And because we get so much clothing, so many goods are produced in China, if this works the way it will eventually, if that also, in fact, does not go away, then we will see an increase of 10% on those items that are being brought in from China. So there's a lot of reasons I wouldn't panic yet. Okay, first of all, the market isn't panicking. And I think that the market figured out, first of all, that yes, he would do it, but then when the Canada-Mexico thing got put on hold for 30 days, I'm kind of expecting the Chinese tariffs to go back away, and I would argue that the market is too. Also, remember that most of the time, there is a lag between what is in the store and what comes in. So even if the tariffs stay in place, it's sort of unlikely if you walk into a big box store. I'm going to use the name Walmart. This is not an endorsement or a criticism of Walmart. It's just a store name that I know you will know. That you're probably not going to see like the $10 t-shirt now costing $11 tomorrow. Now, if these stay in place, you will. But, you know, there's so much uncertainty right now that I think the market is choosing not to worry about it. And because of that, I would kind of encourage you not to worry about it as well, with certain limitations. And let me talk about what those are. So what we need to be concerned about is where things are going and what's happening and what's going on. If you do need to make a big purchase, and that purchase is coming from China, you might want to make it sooner, not later. Okay, that's where, you know, you really have to use your own judgment on that. Because there was supposed to be a meeting this week between the president of China, Xi Jinping, and President Trump. And the president of China said, that's okay, we don't really have anything to talk about. China has issued 15% tariffs, but they're only on 12% of the goods that China imports. The biggest one is oil. So the oil tariff is going to hit with higher prices and perhaps less demand, because China could also get its oil from Russia if it wanted to do it. So it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out. If everything stays in place, there will be an impact eventually. I don't think there's going to be an impact this week, and the markets don't either. But I want to back up a step, because I heard something during the campaign that bothered me, because it wasn't wrong, and it certainly wasn't a lie. I think it was unintentionally misleading. I think there was a goal to use a word that everybody knows in a context where that word was not the best word they could have chosen. And so what they're doing, what many talking heads are saying right now, is that a tariff is a tax on foreign goods and services. And that is absolutely incorrect in the way you think about taxes. So what happens when a tariff is put onto something is that tariff is paid at the port of entry by the person who's delivering the goods. So for example, let's say that we're getting a shipment of Chinese televisions, for example. That 10% tariff will be levied on China at the port of entry. So there's no getting out of it. So how do the people who make the televisions deal with the fact that they're having to pay 10% more? Well, it's really super easy. They raise the price by 10%. And if you're lucky, the prices only go up by 10%, because, you know, once people start raising prices, there can be some price creep that happens as well. But at the very least, they raise the price of the product by 10%. Now, is that a tax? It's not. If it is a tax, it's a tax paid. And this is where, see, it gets tricky, paid by China on that shipload of Chinese televisions. But it's not like it stops there. The tariff cost gets passed on to the consumer who's getting the television. They don't just cut their prices by 10%. You wouldn't cut your prices by 10%. That no one would do that. The profit margin on things are always tight enough. There is zero chance anyone who gets a tariff is not going to raise the prices, which then impacts the consumer that is paying the price. So let's say the television was $100. I'm making all these numbers up. It's a 10% tariff. So now, right, the television is going to cost you $110. And are you going to pay that $110 for the television? Yeah, absolutely you are. So it is going to raise prices. The 25% from Canada and Mexico were very draconian, and it's very odd that we are cutting China a better deal than we were cutting Canada and Mexico, because typically Canada and Mexico are trade partners with the United States. And so when something like this happens, it's in violation of lots of things, and a tariff isn't going to stop fentanyl. It just isn't. And the National Guard in Mexico is already at the border. So what does this mean? I don't really know. What I will say is really big expenses. If you know they're coming up and you know you're going to buy it anyway, go ahead and do it. I don't know that I would try to act preemptively because, I mean, in 2 hours, because the market was 650 points down, magically by noon on Monday, those 25% tariffs on Canada and Mexico had gone away. And the market closed either flat or slightly up. I don't actually remember. I do know that it erased the 650-point deficit. If they go back in place, it will happen again. Have we damaged our trustworthiness as a trading partner? Yes, absolutely. And the long-term outlook of this to be concerned about is that people find other partners because they can. And if we don't look like we're going to hold up our end of the deal, it may be an issue, but it's not an issue today. And we'll just keep an eye on it, and I'll fill you in as I can.
Thank you to Sports Talk 1400 and Norman for production and studio assistance.
Welcome back to the legislative update of the Ask Peggy About Your Finances show. And certainly for those weeks that we did not have a lot of legislation, we seem to be making up for that in spades. And I want to talk to you today about something that I am concerned about. There's a few things I'm concerned about, but I absolutely believe that the way we handle everything is by staying in our lane and making sure that we talk about those things that we have the most knowledge about. So that is what I'm going to do. And what I want to talk about today is the fact that Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent gave Elon Musk and a team of young staffers access to the Treasury system that processes Social Security payments, Medicare payments, tax refunds, basically like the wallet of the United States government. So if you get any form of government money, that information has now been given to Elon Musk and his associates via DOGE, which is the U.S. Department of Government Efficiency, which is not actually a real department, but that is what they're calling it. And Elon Musk has, in fact, been made a government employee, kind of like by decree. So why am I talking about this? I'm talking about this because this is all of your personal information. On this system, your Social Security number is there. Your address is there. Your date of birth is there. Absolutely everything about your financial life that you would need to know if you wanted to open an account somewhere is there. Now, I have not heard from anything other than, oh my goodness, they could do X, Y, or Z with this information. I don't have any idea why they have the information. I don't know why they needed the information because all of these are official government programs, Social Security, Medicare. You know, the people who are really stressing right now are saying, well, it's because they're going to cut it. We don't know that. And I think what we have to do right now is deal with the situation that we have and not borrow the situation that we might have. So we're going to talk more about that in handling stress in section four, because I think this is really, really important right now. So what we know is that the information is out there. We know that President Trump knows that Elon Musk and these staffers are like 19 through 30 years old. I think they're on the young end of that, but I do not want to pass on rumors that I do not know to be true, but they don't have government security clearance, okay? They haven't done anything in the traditional path to get any form of clearance. The number of people who have access to this information is always incredibly limited because of the sensitive nature of it, and there have been no formal processes whereby these people were allowed to access it. Nevertheless, they have it. So, if this is a situation that bothers you, there's some things you can do. If it doesn't, that's totally fine. It's just my job to keep you informed. What you do with the information is your business. So if it's bothering you, you need to reach out to lawmakers and really encourage them that they've got to take active stands against this. Okay, this is giving everybody all of your, not everybody, but giving a group of unqualified people all of your personal information is just a little sketchy. Like, for example, if I did something like that with my clients, I could get shut down. I have to vet the people in my little bitty financial firm who have access to this, because I have social security numbers and dates of birth too, but they're kept in a locked separate room. So a client who's in the office somehow, or if I have an event, that information isn't available. And I am supposed to always be able to show how that information is secure. If I had a home office, it would have to be in a room with a lock that anyone who had access to the house didn't have the key. That's how critical this is, even on just a small financial firm. So, you know, it seems like something that probably isn't a great idea, but you should reach out to your lawmakers if it bothers you. Here's the other piece of this. You need to monitor your accounts. You need to make sure that nobody is opening credit cards or information. You can do that somewhat by checking periodically with your credit company, but that can actually screw up your credit score. What you can do instead of that is make sure that there aren't payments going out of a bank account. I saw a fraud one time when somebody was maxing cards and making minimum payments. And because most of us have direct deposit for our tax refunds, all the bank account information is in that same system. So you really want to watch the activity. I know people who are freezing their credit so no one can do anything. I'm not going to tell you whether or not you should do that, but I do know people who are doing it. You just need to monitor everything. If something looks weird, you need to follow up with it. Make sure somehow your identity hasn't been compromised. Now, no one is saying that that's the plan here, okay? That no one, I have heard nowhere that is why this information was taken. Still, if it's me, and it is, I'm watching things much more carefully than I might in an otherwise situation. The other piece of advice that I would give you, and again, no one is saying that this is going to happen, but if you get automatic payments through Social Security or anything else, if you're filing your taxes quickly and you're expecting a tax refund, check your bank, make sure the money is there before you start writing checks. Okay, I'm not saying the money won't be there. I'm absolutely not saying that. I am saying that if for any reason the money wasn't there, you're making a bad situation worse by bouncing checks all over town. So you need to check. You know, you can go back on your bank records and see when those automatic deposits are made, and you need to make sure that they are made before you assume that money is there. It's my job to be the worrier, right? I have no reason to try to scare you. My job is to try to keep you safe. And so doing those things will help. Hopefully this situation will resolve kind of like the tariff thing does. What scares me is now that the information is in the wild, I don't know how you get it back. So in some ways, this is a little more unsettling to me than even the tariffs are, but we're just going to have to wait and see how this plays out, and I will keep you in the loop as best I can.
Thank you to Sports Talk 1400 and Norman for production and studio assistance.
Welcome back to the Plan Your Prosperity segment of the Ask Peggy About Your Finances show. And I know that everyone is really stressed with everything going on right now, and there's a lot of financial insecurity. This is a good time, if you haven't already done so, to create an emergency fund. Now, if you're a longtime listener of the show, you know that I really like emergency funds. And after COVID, I tend to think they're even more valuable than I did before. Remember that an emergency fund is an amount of money set aside to pay your bills if there's a crisis. So you begin by knowing what you have to spend every month. That's the money that you need to keep the lights on. It would be your mortgage or your rent and your car payments
and your utility bills and probably your cell phone. It might not be eating out, but it would need to be groceries because you have to eat. Now, when you listen to financial experts and celebrities, they will tell you without blinking that you're supposed to have 6 months of those bills set aside. And if you're like most people, and especially if you don't already have some money laid back in case of emergencies, that number is so crazy high that you don't even know where to start. And you know what happens to financial things when you don't know where to start? You don't. And in fact, if you're feeling guilty about not being able to save an emergency fund, you're likely to even spend more money. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to take the amount of money you need to survive every month, and rather than multiplying it by six, which would be 6 months worth of your bills, instead, I want you to divide that number by two. That's right, I don't even want you to try to save a whole month's worth of expenses. I want you to try to save 2 weeks' worth. So it may take a while, right? And knowing how much you spend is so very critical for this to actually work. So once you know what that number is, you divide it by two, and that number isn't terrifically scary, especially if you try to do it over a period of months. So maybe in 6 months, you can have 2 weeks of your bills saved. You know what? That's fantastic. And now you've been successful. Except there's a catch. I'm going to want you to do it again. So when you've saved your 2 week emergency fund, I want you to save another 2 week emergency fund. But again, the number isn't scary, right? You can do it over a period of, you know, hopefully a few months. You'll keep doing this until eventually you have 6 months of your bills saved. I used to be okay when people had 3 month emergency funds, especially if they were great at their job, if they had done it for a long time, if they weren't kind of job skipping, right? So they're not going from job to job to job. Instead, they had longevity. They were fabulous at their work. And then COVID happened, and I saw entire industries shut down. So before, if somebody worked in the restaurant industry and they'd done it a long time, I thought the worst thing that could happen is that the restaurant would close, but if they're talented, they'll get another job. Except then all the restaurants closed. And those people who had emergency funds set back were in much better shape than the people who didn't. So now I absolutely believe every single person needs an emergency fund. And if you don't have one, I want you to start out by saving 2 weeks at a time. Now, I understand right now people are dealing with all kinds of really scary financial issues, like, am I going to have a job? And it's probably too late if you don't have an emergency fund and you're dealing with it right at this moment to make something happen. But if you aren't dealing with an immediate crisis, I want you to go ahead and start saving this. Emergency funds are fabulous. You don't have to only use them if you lose your job. They're also a great way to avoid credit card debt so that you can put a new washing machine out of your emergency fund. Rather than putting it on a card, you can take it out of your fund. Or if you need a new tire because a tire goes flat, you can take it from your emergency fund. Now, here's the catch. It's not free money. If you take the money out of your emergency fund, I want you to put it back in because otherwise you'll just spend your emergency fund and you'll be right back where you started from. But it's okay to use your emergency fund if you need it for day in, day out expenses, as long as you go ahead and replace it. The other advantage right now is it will let you feel like you're doing something useful and taking proactive steps with your finance, and that will always cut down on your stress. Thank you to Sports Talk 1400 and Norman for production and studio assistance.
Welcome back to the Ask Peggy segment of the Ask Peggy About Your Finances. And I actually only heard one question all week long, which is, I'm so stressed. I'm losing my mind. I'm afraid I'm going to lose benefits. I'm afraid I'm going to lose my job. I'm afraid my identity is going to be hacked. What am I supposed to do? So, because stress and money are so closely related, and because some of these concerns have absolute economic implications, I don't think I'm wrong to spend a little bit of time giving you some strategies that I'm doing, and I hope it can help you too. So the first thing is, if you're really concerned, and if you're not, that's great. You know, you can take this and you can apply it to absolutely anything because it's good advice no matter what you're stressed about. But if it is legislative in nature, contact your lawmakers. I have heard phone calls are best. I don't know that. That's not my wheel well, but that is what I have heard. And they said to call every day. So that's the first thing you can do, and call no matter what party the person is, and call no matter what the issue is, even if you don't think you're going to have an impact. Then you need to consume enough news to stay informed, but you shouldn't just gorge on it. I'm a news junkie, and I'm a political news junkie. I will fully admit it. But I am trying, for my own stress level's sake, is I stay informed and I make sure that I know what's happened. But, you know, I don't have to know within 30 seconds what's happened. And that's where, and I'm struggling, I really am, but that is the advice I would give to you. You don't have to know what happened within 30 seconds of it happening. So if you can do a recap or a summary, if you have a show you like, or a blog you read, or now there's a Substack that you like to follow, do that. But try really hard not to do it 24 hours a day, because it's just going to make you sick, and you're going to get upset, no matter what it is. If you're upset about something, and you don't give yourself a break from it, whatever it is, it will make you sick, and I don't want that to happen to you. So then the other thing you want to do is, if you hear a news story, you need to get confirmation. Make sure that what you heard is true. So maybe you'd like to get your news off TikTok. There's lots of real news on TikTok. But what I say is, anytime I hear something and it sounds funny, I don't repost it. I do a Google search or your favorite search engine search. And I look for corroborating evidence. Are other people saying the same thing, or is this a real one-off? And that helps me decide whether or not what I've read is real or it isn't. And then, because things change with lightning speed, I had read that the United States Postal Service wasn't going to deliver packages from China, and within 24 hours, that policy was reversed. So before you lose your mind, give it a couple days. You can't fix it, even if it doesn't change, right? So give it a couple days before you panic, before you do anything draconian, and then wait and see if it doesn't fix itself all by itself. And then you don't have to undo all the weird things you did trying to fix it. And then do things that bring you joy, be around people you love, pet your pet, do things that will help you lower your stress, and we will get through this together.
Thank you to Sports Talk 1400 and Norman for production and studio assistance.
You may submit personal finance questions to the Ask Peggy Facebook page and learn more at PeggyDoviak.com. And remember, prosperity is so much more than money.